All right, welcome everybody, the meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners, thanks for coming out today. First thing we'll do is Stan, Commissioner Titchener will give the invocation, and then we'll do the pledge of allegiance.
It's all about the word prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today thanking you for all that you do for us, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go through this meeting, that everything we say and do here is pleasing to you, and that we make wise decisions. Lord, we just continue to ask you to guide and direct us, and we ask all this in thy most precious holy name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Knoll, you have any additions or corrections or deletions to the agenda?
Yes, sir, I do. I would request that we go into executive session at the end of this meeting to discuss some economic development programs.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions or concerns with the agenda? Hearing none will be approved as amended by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance? Are there any questions, corrections, or concerns with minutes? Hearing none, they will be approved by mutual consent. All right, I would like to, before we get into the agenda, I'd like to welcome our colleague and friend of mine, Mr. Terry Baker from Washington County, who's also running for Congress. So welcome to Garrett County.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
All right. Just a couple words for people here in attendance this evening. My name is Terry Baker, and I'm president of the Washington County Commissioners down in Washington County. I reside in Clear Spring. I don't know if many of you are familiar with the town of Clear Spring, just right off of 68-70, just a little east of Hancock there. I'm a three-term county commissioner, and I've always thought about running for a higher office. I know our country's a mess, and I think I'm the guy that would represent Western Maryland better than any of the other candidates in the race. I consider myself geographically being right in the bullseye of the district. Washington County, I could be out here in 75 to 90 minutes. I could be anywhere in Montgomery County, 75 to 90 minutes. I'm a compassionate conservative with conviction in pro-life, and also certainly support the Second Amendment to the without compromise. I'm a hunter, fisherman. I do everything that many of the people here in Garrett County do. None of the candidates I'm running against spend as much time in the woods or in the waters as I do, because that's just what I love to do. And I think I would be a great fit for Garrett, Washington, Allegheny, Frederick County, et cetera, in Congress. I'll never forget where I come from. As an elected official in Washington County, I've been pretty fortunate from the voters. I've received more votes the last two elections than anyone in the history of our county running for county commissioner. And that just doesn't happen by mistake. I think that happens because I listen to the people in the community, and I try to deliver what I promise the citizens who to do. So, without really elaborating on, hope you all give me some serious consideration, and I honestly will never forget where I come from. So thank you all very much. I'd like to thank the commissioners for having me here, and have a great meeting today.
Thanks.
We have our state of the county tomorrow, so I'll be...
good luck.
Yeah. And also, real quick, just with Mr. Zembal here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
Jerry, so you know, he told me the same
thing. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Allegheny Garrett Sportsman yeah. Association.
Okay, first up, we have some bid awards. gentlemen?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two bid awards for your consideration this afternoon. The first of which is Attractive Standing Timber. This is located to the west of the Grantsville Refuse Recycling Site there along Route 40. It's approximately 6.2 acres. The county solicited bids, which were due on Thursday, January 21st. Received a total of two responses. The recommendation is to award the contract to JBEA Logging for the amount of $4,500. They were the highest responsive and responsible bid. As part of the recommendation, the board will need to declare the timber as surplus property in accordance with our purchasing policy. As you all are well aware, we are clear-cutting that in preparation for the solar installation. Any questions?
Questions? Motion approved.
So moved.
Yeah, motion second.
Second.
Question motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The next bid award is for Western Conveyance Water Service Connection Materials. This obviously is associated with the previous contract we awarded for the Western Conveyance Water System. This is running, will help DPU run from the main line up to the property owner's property, and then the property owners will connect from that point forward. But we did bid out various water service connection materials, which were due on January 21st as well. Received a total of 4 bids, and the recommendation is to award the total contract to HD Supply. Total bid price of $131,417.50. There are varying lead times for that equipment, anywhere from 2 to 10 weeks, depending on what it was. And the funding is included to fund the purchases in the 2016 Utilities Division budget. And they will recoup that money back from the homeowner as part of the connection fee. So it's being reimbursed directly.
You're on board with all that?
Yes.
Any other questions? Motion approved.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion second. Question motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you guys very much. All right, Mr. Noel, you have some board appointments for us.
Yes, sir, I do. All of our board appointments have been posted on the website for an opportunity for the public to request appointment to the various committees. Our first one is for the Planning Commission. We have 3 openings: Mr. Anthony Durr, Mr. Troy Ellington, Mr. Jeff Messinger. We did not receive any other applications for these positions. They will be appointed for a 5-year term.
And they all want reappointment?
And they all ask to be reappointed, yes.
Any concerns with those? Let's go ahead and go through all of them unless they're concerned. We'll approve them all at once.
Okay. Our second one is Commission for Women. We had a request from the Commission to appoint Ms. Kitty Laurel as a member of the Commission for Women. She has been in the permanent resident in Garrett County since 2008. There are 15 members on the commission. They serve a 3-year term, and this position was nominated by the board of directors.
And she's willing to serve?
She's willing to serve.
Okay.
And our final one is for the Ruth Enslow Library. The Library Board of Trustees would like to reappoint Cosette Harmon to the Library Board for a 5-year term.
Okay. So there were no...
We had no...
Other than the incumbents, there were...
That's correct.
I move to approve the recommendation.
All right, we have a motion to approve all recommended appointments. We have a second.
Second.
Motion second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Look at that. We're right on schedule. Okay, that actually concludes the business part of the agenda meeting, so it's time for public comment. And do we have any questions or concerns? Yes, sir.
My name is George Wargle. I'm a property owner in McHenry. I've supplied you with text that I asked to be in the record and will be discussed later. So I'll just quickly summarize what I think the main points are. You probably know that a letter was sent out dated December 15th, which was going to change the rules and interpretation of how the 2006 ordinance for transient vacation rental units were being applied. And that letter indicated that there had been a misinterpretation of the 2006 ordinance. I suggest with my wife that the interpretation that was given to us was actually accurate. It was very strange to have received a letter from the inspector's office saying we would be grandfathered because our home was built before 1997, and then less than a year later receive another letter telling us, well, that was a misinterpretation. Then when we did our research, we see that this has been the standard interpretation for more than 9 years. And the same attorney and planning director have been in that office for that period. So it's very strange to understand how this was a misinterpretation. In fact, we think it was a correct interpretation because it was applying the ordinance fairly. Now, the problem then leads to the second point is we're incurring some significant financial costs. Initially, the building inspector thought we could just get some different kind of hardware and that would rectify the situation. Upon talking to a number of window companies, that simply is not true. And he's aware of that and he knows that. I've had some people come out and I'm looking at somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 of alterations that have to be made. Third point. If I am in a position where I have to undertake this corrective action, then I believe everyone should. If this is a question of safety, and we have multiple buildings in the county that do not meet the ordinance requirement, then people should look at that and say, it should be met by everyone. Because you're licensing them. And if you're going to say, my building is licensed and it meets all the requirements, then I think you have an obligation to say, these buildings are licensed, but we're excusing them. And they're not as safe as others. And renters should be informed of that. They should know that they have to take further diligence in being able to have egress from the room if there were a fire. Now, I understand this is a very, very difficult situation, but the problem is, we have been told now to everyone we've spoken with, in the end, this is a matter of policy. The commissioners have to explain to you why it is the way it is. So I guess we want an explanation at some point.
Am I allowed to ask?
Sure.
Well, we started this whole investigation by calling the Planning and Land Commission, and it was very nice that they provided us with all the documents that they thought were pertinent to this issue. And we thoroughly went through these documents, and we don't see where there is a distinction between those people who were TVRUs and were built before 1997 and were in a rental program, and TVRUs that were built in 1997 but were not part of a rental program until after 2006. And we have gone, I won't go into any details here, I know you don't want to do that right now, but we see that there is no difference between those who are now being excused from meeting the fire code regulation for proper egress from windows, and those of us who are not being excused from it. And believe me, we are not in any way saying that we think that this provision it should be treated lightly. That, in other words, that this, you know, proper egress is part of the fire code. So we're not quite understanding on what basis the two groups are different. So is it a matter of safety? Is this a matter of finances? We're not sure, but the documents that we were given, if you go through what I presented to you, you'll see that there does not seem to be, at least from the documents that we were given, any difference between the two groups, so we don't know why we're being treated differently. The letter that we received on 2015 said that the pre-2006 people who were TVRUs, we were all built in 1997. This is what has to do with just those houses that were built before 1997, so we came under a different code. But anyway, the letter said that they realized that with the 2006 ordinance, there was a problem with any house not having proper egress from windows. And the letter said, now we know this, we know it from the county commissioner, we know it from the fire marshal, that this does not meet the fire code. However, then the next sentence is, but we are grandfathering those people whose houses were in a rental program before 2006. So that's where we don't understand. We don't see there was any grandfathering before this. We contend that everybody was treated the same before this. Everybody was, in essence, grandfathered, even though that was not the word that was ever used in an official document. But we were all, post-2006, we were all grandfathered, in essence, into not having to meet this provision. And now, for no reason that we can find, we're being treated differently as of December 15th. Thank you.
Last item is something that's, my residence is in Pennsylvania. There's obviously a difference in Pennsylvania law and Maryland law. It shocks me. But I was told that letters that come from the building inspection and whatnot have no standing in court. And so how am I ever supposed to know that any letter that comes from any agency in this county, short of the county commissioners, has any binding power whatsoever? I don't know how to do business with that kind of a situation.
Because we're even still getting the letters from the licensing department, and they're still... They're still coming from the same person, and we're being told that the one that we got originally back a year ago, that will never hold up
in any court,
because the commissioners are not responsible for this. And now we get another letter, which is now telling us we got a new interpretation of the 2006 ordinance from the same person, an inspector in the licensing department. Why do we even have to follow that when it's not even something that is being, that is, we're not being told that the commissioners do not necessarily have to back this up.
Yeah,
and we were told this by the county attorney, your county attorney. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
I had submitted an application for the planning commission when the vacancy was then filled by Ms. George, and asked that it be left as an open to any of the openings that came available. And I wasn't considered for the previous openings or this one. That just kind of bothers me that I submitted it to you personally in an email with Kevin being copied on it, because we had talked about the positions being open and the website not actually having the information available. Again, I had submitted it in hope that it would stay on file for any of the future openings. It wasn't considered for any of those, although they've already appointed all they've changed who the chair is now. Tony's going to be the new chair. But that was just on that one point. What would I need to do differently? Do I need to submit it individually each time? And can we get notifications of those again? Because we're not getting the notifications like we were before.
I'm sorry. Previously,
you know, your predecessor used to, whenever those positions became available, they would go out on the email blast that they do. They have, I think, the countywide email chain that they send out on any notifications for any positions, anything that was opening up. Those used to be done. This was not done in this last cycle.
Okay, we're posted on the website, but not on the email blast. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know that they were posted on the website.
Yeah, everything's always posted on the website.
That's changed, too, from what it was previously. So, I mean, we're not even getting an email to the stuff that we should check to see if it's over there. But that was just on that positioning. So if there are positions that are available and people that do follow are specifically doing things in the county, you know, as a builder in the county, of course, I do follow Planning Commission. I do go to those meetings and do participate at a level beyond what some of the folks that are there do. It'd be nice to have a consideration in what's going on with that.
We can add that.
I'll check on that email blast because that's something I was... Quite honestly, I was not aware.
Well, I know that's changed. It's gone up and down. It's gone from working to not working to including to not including. So it's
easy enough to include.
Right.
But
yeah.
Let me follow up on that one.
Secondly, wanted to follow up quickly. I had spoken with Kevin earlier in the week about Ms. Hilda Wilburn out on 495, who was having some significant problems with a well along the roadway there. She was having really bad water problems. She contacted me today. The water has gone completely black. It's not in any way usable for anything, and was trying to see if there was something we could do to meet and try to help her out in a sooner rather than later situation. She's in dire need. She has pregnant horse out there that needs to get water, and them being elderly, they just don't have the resources to get.
This is not the same person that was here last meeting?
No. That person that was here last time was Thomas Spiker. And he was one that was explaining and talking about the state road salt and what had happened with his well, and then apparently she's having the same problem. They had the health department came out, they took water samples. We know that the chloride in it was extremely high because I wasn't the well owner. They didn't give me the totals, and they're waiting for the final report to come back from the state, but it should be in next week.
I did bring this up at the TAC meeting with the state representative, the state highway representative, and his statement to me was that they just need to follow through with that because the state has drilled wells in the past. And he thought that Spiker was on the list to be considered at least for a well.
Yes, and we spoke with him afterwards, but Ms. Wilburn was not. She actually thought it was from the Castleman. Initially, she thought that that was what was going on because she couldn't understand why it suddenly changed. When we heard about Mr. Spiker's and he was explaining how the sodium interacts with the soil, and that when you get the wash through from rain or snow, that impact was changing what the chloride levels were in a lot of it's washing the irons into the wells. And she has a 25-foot well that's older, it's 30-some-odd years old. And it just now, we have remembered we had all that heavy flooding last spring out there. I think that's that flooding in combination with what just happened with the warm weather today just changed everything for her.
When you say we talked to her, who's
Engage Mountain, Maryland. Oh. We had gone out and met with her. She had contacted us because she had followed some of our advocacy. And she just didn't know where to turn and what to do. We were able to help her get in touch with Mr. Knoll. We requested that she get the health department out there. I didn't realize that the health department has a mandate that anytime that a well is within 200 feet of a county road, that if the chlorides come back during any testing extremely high, they automatically send it to SHA to let them know that they're picking up salts.
Okay, I'll double check on this for black water. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Hello. We're still waiting on word about a possible public meeting with Secretary Grumbles and MDE about public input into the fracking regulations, into the process before they're released. We're just wondering, have you heard anything more about when such a meeting will be taking place, as we were promised that one would?
We did meet with MDE a couple weeks ago. The meeting went extremely well, and they are very interested. They're very aware of our concerns of having that dialogue here. I think, and don't quote me on this because I might be wrong, but I think they said somewhere around March or April they would be out because they want information in advance of releasing proposed regulations. And then they would be out again after the proposed regulation so that they could dialogue. They also had said that anyone who is called or, that is willing to go to them, they'll meet with at any time. But they are going to be out here pre-release of proposed regulations and post-relief. They want to have strong dialogue with local residents. We were very pleased to hear that they were already planning on that without us really having to push them. Whether that came from the secretary or staff or whoever, we were very encouraged by that. So I'm sure they will do a very good job. We'll certainly, as soon as we know, we'll let everyone know. But I'm almost positive, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, that I for some reason March, April sticks in my mind as the first meeting.
Is there anything that we citizens can do to try to get an actual date?
Did you all talk to Grumbles about that during PACE?
I talked to him personally, and he was supposed to contact me this last week. He did not. I've sent him 4 emails and left 4 phone messages, and we've not received any confirmation back from him or Jeff Fretwell.
Well, I don't know other than doing that what what can be done. We can certainly reach out and ask. I know when we spoke to them, they didn't have a firm date where they said we'll be out on March 23rd. It was a general time frame. As we get closer to March, if we haven't heard anything, we'll certainly reach out and see if they. But they assured us repeatedly that it would be pre and post, and it would be out here, and more than just a 2-hour visit. So.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I just have a quick question. I remember our organization has made more than 1 or 2 calls to Secretary Grumbles and to Jeff Fretwell, and to set up meetings, going out there to meet with them, and they've never gotten back to us. Other people, not just Eric. So, I don't get why they say they will, and then they don't.
Well, I certainly can't answer that question for them, but we can make a note of that, and we'll reach out to them and tell them that we had comments tonight that phone calls and emails were going unanswered, and see if we can help.
Well, that would be great.
I'll shoot Kevin an email with some of the follow-up that I had from them, so that we have some dates and stuff on it.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, well, we thank everybody for coming out. Our next meeting is the 16th.
Tuesday the
16th here. So thanks for coming.
We're adjourning for executive
session. We will be adjourning for executive session on economic development. And we have a motion to second. Thank you all.